From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Well, it's Thursday night, and you know what that means? It means that I'm Mark.
I'm Garth.
I'm also Leon.
We are The Dice Men Cometh. We are here in the studios at Edge Radio 99.3 FM to talk to you about board games, card games. I don't know if we'll touch on role-playing games tonight, but sometimes we do. All the things that you can play with folks around various tables or in lounge rooms or this time of year in tents or by campfires, all sorts of things.
I don't know about you, Leon, but I've always thought about Christmas time having a jolly big fat man tell me what's happening and...
Yeah.
It's not very exciting then.
No. We've got him boozed up. I mean, he's lost a bit of weight, so well done there, but it's just not quite as jolly.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Come on. You're still the most Santa Claus out of all of us, Mark.
Yeah, there's no taking away that away.
Just because I've got a beard.
Yeah, that's the reason.
And it's grey.
Anyway.
And you're very jolly, typically.
I am a jolly, jolly fellow. So, ho, ho, frick. Ho.
I thought we weren't allowed to say that word. I was told not to say that. Oh, context.
What,
correct.
Ho,
context.
Ho or?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Stop saying it, Mark.
Anyway, let's get this
Garth
on track.
Garth, tell us about our show this evening for episode 243, this evening, the 20th of December. So close to Christmas.
Sure is.
2018.
Yes. We have a lot going on this week. First of all, I want to say happy birthday to my son who turns 11 tomorrow. Woo! But on a more important note, we are going to be talking about no board games tonight because Mark is going to have an interview with one Steve O'Rourke from New York, who is a long-time listener and arguably our very first North American listener who made contact with us. And the interview is all about a very first dipping the toe into going to gaming conventions. And that's going to be really exciting because we haven't listened to that. And then, Leon, I got a present for you. And Mark, I got a present for you. And hopefully you've got presents for me because the Dice Men are going to be sharing all the presents to all the people who are in this particular studio anyway. So that could be interesting to see what games we want to give to each other. But before we get to that,
we'll be back soon with our interview from PAX Unplugged.
You like games? Well, go play games. But when you're done, listen to the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio.
Well, there you go. That was The Black Keys with Lonely Boy. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. Now, not many of us have the joy of being able to speak to someone from the other side of the planet and have that joy recorded for everyone to listen to. But Mark indeed had that joy, speaking to long-time listener and first-time caller Steve O'Rourke from New York, talking about his first experience going to a big gaming convention, which, Mark, is that PAX Unplugged?
Correct.
So how about you push that button, Mark, and we'll all get to listen to a New Yorker.
So it's great this week to be joined by long-time listener, first-time interviewee, Steve O'Rourke from New York. Welcome. It is so nice to chat to you after all this time. You've been a listener for a long time with us. We've really enjoyed interacting with you via the various social medias. Now, you recently were lucky enough, you bastard, to to go to PAX Unplugged in Philadelphia.
Yes, we did. It was a group of four of us that went down to Philly from the New York area, and that was the first big gaming con for all four of us.
Okay, and just for those of us who've got no idea about the geography of the United States, what sort of drive is it from New York to Philly?
It was surprisingly close. We think about Philly as being so far and so distant, but it was about 2 hours and 15 minutes drive for all four of us to get there and converge. So very easy to come in and day trip, and that was what we did. It was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday convention, but we were only there for the Saturday.
Just to be clear, you haven't been to a big convention before, is that right?
No, that's absolutely true. Only local, smaller game group cons. There's one that Eric Summer goes to in nearby Connecticut that's relatively small, ConCon. But this was the first one that really felt like you were at approaching a Comic-Con kind of level.
Wow. Okay. So do you want to describe to us, you walk in the door, what do you see and what's the feel?
Well, the first thing that I got from walking in the door is that the convention center is obviously very big. It takes you a while to get through all of the different, security and such to get there. But it was done pretty well and handled pretty smoothly. Once you get to the point of getting in, though, and you actually hit the hall, I would have to say that the hall was probably the equivalent of maybe two football fields or pitches, basically put side to side.
Wow.
So it was very long, about as wide as one soccer or football pitch. And then you had that roughly divided in half. Walk in the door, immediately to your left are all of the booths for all the publishers. And the other half of the hall to your right is entirely open play space, tables for open gaming.
So half the space for open play, that's fantastic.
It really was. And and surprisingly, with all that space, it did fill up. Finding table space was not terribly easy unless you had somebody who was already sitting down, holding the game and waiting for people to sit down and join them.
This is only the second year of PAX Unplugged, and I know last year there was not a huge amount of buzz before it happened. I think it got pulled together fairly quickly. So the fact that it filled up that large space, obviously there's a lot of good buzz around about it.
Oh, completely agreed. I think talking with some of the folks who were there, who were the publishers, and getting together with people that you've only interacted with online, hearing their stories of things, from year one to year two, there was a good bit of growth. I haven't seen any official numbers, but they seem to suggest that last year you had 25,000 to maybe 30, and this year was more like 30,000 to maybe 35.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot of people, that's for sure. And so you went on the Saturday, was that right?
We did. And we were there from open until almost close of the hall. Now, the hall stayed open for open gaming, but the publisher side closed up around 6. And we had from about 10 o'clock with a break for lunch until around 5:15. It took us about that long to cover just the publisher booths and all the hall space.
Okay. And amongst the publishers, what notable ones did you manage to have a chat to?
Well, it was actually we had a couple of things that I knew I wanted to head towards. There were people who were running booths or publisher representatives or people that I've interacted with on the guilds on BGG that I wanted to be sure to connect with. One of them was Grey Fox Games, because I've been involved on the Dukes of Dice website with Alex Goldsmith. And Alex is the chief noisemaker over there at Grey Fox. I know that's Grey Fox has a lot of your favorite games out there. I know Deception gets talked about a lot and Champions there. They were going blazing guns. They were really doing well there. That was a hot spot. Renegade had a lot of space, but that space did choke up with people because they had both sales and they had demos out. That was always busy. Same was true for Restoration Games, but they had Fireball Island, which was something that people were, if they weren't sitting down at the table, they were gathering around it, looking at it and saying, whoa, this takes you back. Those were some of the ones that have popped out as being spaces that were most active and alive with people. Whether that translated to sales or not, I think on the Friday it didn't. But from what Alex was telling me, it really did kind of explode on Saturday. I can't take all the credit for delivering everybody on Saturday.
Was it a large library of games to play, or were most people taking their own or buying and then going and opening them up straight away? What did you see there?
I think there was a mix of that. I got to tell you, though, Mark, we didn't even get to the library. In that process of time, we knew we wanted to see what were the new games. We wanted to connect with folks. And some of that did happen over in the play space, but it was mostly saying hi to folks who were already playing their games. The library was good. I do think that people were probably buying and opening their games too and playing in that space.
Okay. Now, obviously, there's so many new games that have just come out, things that are still hot from Essen. What were the main games that you saw being played? What were the hotnesses?
Well, the first thing I got to lead with is that it was so hot that we didn't get to see it played. Keyforge was there, but it was sold out by the time we arrived on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So that, if you want to call that hot game being played, I'm sure it was being played by people who got there early enough to buy their own copies, but that didn't include us. The starter sets were all gone. There were some isolated singles that you could buy, and Luke and Adam each got one of those. They haven't cracked those open yet, but that should be happening in the next week or so. Keyforge was hot. Fireball Island, Suzanne was demonstrating there. Suzanne from the Dice Tower, she was working with Restoration, and Fireball Island was always full with people playing or watching. Those were probably the two biggest titles that I saw getting a lot of attention. But as we were moving around the hall, there were lots of smaller games, family games, filler games. I think that this con, for at least its first year or two, is starting out as being more of the build-up for the entry-level tabletopper. It's coming from PAX, and this is a lot of the video game background. Some of this is new to tabletop folks, and so I think they're growing that slowly but surely. There is more. There was more of a Euro presence and a heavier game presence this year, I think, from what I heard from last year's approach.
Okay, and look, PAX have been doing an amazing job, because yes, as indeed. You said, primarily that's been all about video games, but they've always had a small tabletop section at their cons. We've gone to PAX here in Australia a couple of times, and you'd say the tabletop was maybe 10 or 15% of the con, but growing. But this is pure tabletop, which is amazing.
Absolutely. It was nothing but analog on the table gaming, and they did a wonderful job really running the con.
Oh, brilliant. And now, you said there wasn't a lot of table space. Did you actually get to play much?
We did mostly demos, honestly. As we were moving around, there was even in the publisher space, they had either sit-down or stand-up tables that you could gather around, and a lot of the folks who were volunteering with the publishers were there to demo games. But knowing that so many people were trying to get in and out of that space, what we tried to do was get the flavor of the game, get a couple, you know, rounds of something in. There were only a couple that were short enough that we really did sit down and do a full game of. But there's of the four of us, we probably had probably 7 or 8 games that we were able to demo in that little group of time through that as we were moving through the hall.
Okay, you want to let us know what those titles were?
Sure. As soon as we got in, one of the ones that it was right there when we walked through the doors was a new party game out called Just One. I don't know if you've heard about this one.
Oh, no.
Okay. The logic of this game is it's, again, a kind of a party game and a word game, and it's one person will be the person who draws the card and selects a number from 1 to 5, and on the other side facing all of the players are 5 words. Everybody has a dry erase board, and they try to write down a clue that will give the hint to the person who can't see the word as to what they should be guessing. It's called Just One because only one person can say one word. If it turns out that 2 people put down the same thing, they erase their dry erase boards, and then you're missing that much information. So as you go around with that, we did probably come close to playing a full game of that one. It felt like an activity that you could do as long as you liked. You could play it as a game if you wanted to, or you could just use it as a goofy, fun little activity over dinner or what have you. We enjoyed that one.
I've just jumped on BGG while I've been talking. One of the 2 designers mm-hmm. is Ludovic Rudy, and the other one is Bruno Sauter. I'm sure I've butchered those names. They're the 2 designers of Seventh Continent, so this is really different.
A massive departure, yes. And there's going to be some folks who are game designers like that. I think of Inca and Marcus Brand, who can do anything that they want to, from entry-level party games to deep, crunchy Euros.
Awesome.
This was a good party game. I think it should have some legs. Later on in the day, we did get one full game in of a dexterity game called Catch the Moon. I think Garth may have mentioned this one recently, perhaps. Best way to describe this is kind of a dexterity reverse Jenga. You're building with little ladder pieces, and you have to lay your ladders on top of what's been built before in a way that it doesn't fall, and it also satisfies some kind of criterion on the card. It may be that it only can touch one other ladder, or it has to touch 2 other ladders, or say whatever you get that by the roll of the dice. It's randomized there.
Yes.
You pick up a ladder, you get one hand, you get one way to place it, you can time each other if you want to. You can house rule that a little bit. But if you do that and succeed, it goes to the next person. Do it and fail, and the clouds cry. You get 2 tiers. And the moment somebody, I believe the way it is, when somebody gets 2 of those, the game is over for them. You keep going until you've got 1 winner as the last one standing. A clever little party game that you could use as dexterity. We did have a copy of that come home. I think Adam picked up a copy of that. And when next time we have our game night, if there are any adult beverages, I think that would probably be earlier to play in the evening rather than later, because dexterity will decline as the night goes on, shall we?
You mentioned there were quite a few where you just got to have a touch. You want to give us a couple of those?
Sure. One that I was looking to try, and this was, I think it's Emperor S4, but it might be picked up by somebody else for delivery in other areas other than Asia, was Realm of Sand. This is one that caught my attention because it was brought to me as explained as kind of like a mix of patchwork in terms of how you choose your moves and move around in a circle, but also had a tile laying component. So you have, I suppose the best way to describe it is you are doing Tetris, but you're laying out tiles that are representing buildings that have to be recreated in this realm that has collapsed.
Yes.
And as you do that, you fill it in with actual tiles. And as you complete buildings, you create a three-dimensional image on your board of what you're trying to reimagine as a building. Do that, and you complete the building, and you take the card. So the achievements that you're trying to get are laid out kind of Splendor style. You've got three layers of building that you can shoot at, just like you have three layers of difficulty of getting those gems. So put that all together with these tiles laid out in patchwork style, laying them out kind of patchwork style also, and achieving bonuses Splendor style seemed like might have been right up my alley.
And it sounds like it's bringing together quite a few different things that we haven't seen, I guess, in the one game before. That one sounds interesting.
It was a bit of a hodgepodge. The only difficulty that I had with it was that while it was very pretty to look at, when you lay down the tile, you really lay it down on yours as a template. And then you have to play loose tiles there, which makes it, when you replace it, it's a little bit of fiddliness trying to maintain your board.
Okay.
That one didn't come home, but I'd really be interested in that if that were to be an app. That, I think, would be one that would streamline nicely and play well when you had to do less of the management of the physical space.
Okay. And any others that really sort of caught your eye? What were the ones where you thought, oh, my God, I've got to grab that one of those?
Well, you probably would have talked to Adam about that one, because for me, I only came home with a couple of things from the con. Adam came home with some things that he wanted to certainly walk away with, a copy of Psy, the Game of Thrones game, a couple of other little things. But the things that we saw that when people played them, they tended to walk away with them. Would have been things like Quacks of Quedlinburg.
Yep.
Did bring a copy of that home for one of our game group members who wanted us to cover a copy.
Nice.
Reavers of Midgard was there in a demo form. That didn't come home with us, but it really does take that world of champions of Midgard and make it more of a resource management Euro game, a lot more getting your engine running.
Okay.
That was one that was Alex and Gray Fox were really doing great guns demoing that. And he could give you the 5-minute pitch on that in a heartbeat. That one was getting a lot of attention. You guys asked me to take a look at Gen 7 too, right?
Yes, that's right. We spoke to Colby this time last week, and he sort of gave us the rundown. It's one we're very excited about.
We were audience on that one. As people were playing that one, they seemed to have a good demo going, and I think they were looking to maybe play the whole game there, which was going to take some time.
Yeah.
So we were watching as audience, and I was talking with the guy who was doing the demos there. And it really visually had a kind of a Time Stories art vibe to it. As you were looking at the board and you had your non-player character there in front of you, that really had the appealing look of that. Very clean design. I was seeing them as they were playing it, learning the game, and it didn't look like it was necessarily an easy teach to get up to speed on. So I might not have gotten the whole vibe of what that was doing at the table. But the premise of it is pretty clever, and right from the beginning, it seems to jump right in with storytelling and really hook you.
Okay. And look, one question I've got about that one, because since talking to Colby, Leon in particular, this is red hot for him. And one of the things he's noticed is it's quite expensive. So we're talking about maybe 120 Australian dollars, but so it's probably like 90 to 100 US. Could you see that value in what you could see on the table?
I don't think we had enough of a view of the actual gameplay. The folks who were playing it were certainly enjoying what they were doing, but they were exploring and trying to get a handle on things. I might not be able to give you a great vibe on whether that had that amount of value in it. It certainly had a lot of game to it. What does that mean in terms of getting your plays worth for the money? Well, I wish I could tell you more.
I guess the big question is, are you going to be going back next year?
By the time we were finished with the convention and on the walk back to the car, we were making plans for next year.
Oh, awesome.
It was really very impressive, given that it was so close to us, could be done as a day trip. We didn't get a whole lot of play time, and if we wanted to do that, we might have to think about extending for next time. It was a great location, easy to get into and out of Philly. Good food there. I think it's going to be one that rivals Origins and maybe Essen for good food. You got the Reading Terminal Market right across the street with good cooking of all kinds of cuisines. It may be something that if we want to get more out of it, we might have to consider the stay over to really do that and get our time's worth out of it.
I was going to ask you that. Do you know, are there a lot of reasonable accommodation options? Obviously, Philly is a big city, but just in terms of cost even, have you investigated that at all?
Yeah, no, I haven't looked at it yet. And part of what most of the people who I knew who were going were folks who were going to be doing demo for publishers. So in doing that, they may have been part of a block of rooms that the publisher came up with. Cramming more people into a room for money's sake or sleeping on air mattresses on the floor. But if you were going to work there, you could probably pay your way pretty easily. If we were going to be day tripping, it might actually be something that we did over multiple day trips. But you miss the late night stuff, which is where more of the gaming tends to happen. And that's where after the publishers have done their work for the day, that's when they get to play their own games and other people's games. And that seems to be something that we missed out on with the day trip.
Yeah, look, that's definitely one of the highlights of that sort of convention. I mean, I will never forget Garth and I and Ian O'Toole and a couple of friends of his hitting a local bar in Melbourne and just chatting about all sorts of stuff, playing a couple of games. You know, that was, to me, that was the highlight of that con. So it certainly, that is a lot of fun. Hey, speaking of which, did you get to meet any sort of famous people?
Absolutely. I guess they would probably want me to make sure that they know that we're talking gamer famous.
Oh, of course, yes.
In that world. But yeah, Suzanne from Dice Tower, like I said, was demonstrating at Fireball Island. I made sure to go say hello to her. We've interacted online. Mandy from Dice Tower was at Renegade. She was doing demos of lots of different things. I think she may have been doing Gunkimono over there. Perhaps I'm remembering that wrong. Christina and Rob from Blue Peg, Pink Peg, sat down with them for a little while in the gaming area and chatted and caught up with them.
Nice.
And like I said, I needed to connect with Alex because Alex has been somebody that I've played with, like I've played with you guys online at BGA and other, yes, other spots. He needed to see evidence that I was actually a person rather than just some robot typing on the computer someplace. So I've actually proved my existence to him. And that was good to actually, you know, be like old friends when you're meeting somebody for the first time was kind of a unique but fun experience.
Yes.
And there were some local folks here. Steve Finn, who's a friend of ours from this area, Dr. Finn, he had his own booth there. But we see him up here and help him with some game demos and testing all the time. He was doing well there and there also.
Now, before I let you go, do I understand that you might be a bit of a competition for us, that you're involved in the podcast world yourself now?
Well, I'm kind of working in the background here. BJ from Board Game Gumbo is a friend of mine also from Louisiana, and he's been active with Dukes of Dice and Blue Peg, Pink Peg, and other sites. But he has a Facebook Live show that he does every week for probably, let's call it a season, maybe 20 episodes or so in the year. Tuesday nights for him, it's 8:30 Central Time. And there's folks who come on and we'll talk about their games that they're doing or people in the field or other content creators. So I'm helping him in the background as a producer, and he ends the night each of those with a game that we play, and I'll write for the guest that evening, a word game of some sort that we play, and the chat room chimes in and tries to compete.
Oh, nice. So, but not in the podcast world?
Not in the podcast world. He does it on Facebook Live. He does chop it up afterwards to do some YouTube selections because a lot of the games that get talked about, he'll post those as individual smaller videos on BGG that are tagged with the game in particular that was being talked about. So it's out there electronically, but not a regular download. It's more of a listen live or follow it on Facebook with a saved persistent link afterward. How could we be competition with you guys?
Ah, look, you know, there's room for plenty of us, as long as we're not all in the same room. I mean, you know, physically there's not much room, but there's room electronically for many of us out there. That'll be one we'll have to check out, Board Game Gumbo, and also for the listeners.
I do have to tell you one last thing, though, Mark, too. You all might not have been at PAX, but your ears should have been ringing because you were talked about at PAX.
Really?
Did I tell you this?
No.
We did stop by. I at least made sure to make a stop over at Jelly Bean Game. And Dice Lady Tanya wasn't there, but Philip, I believe his name is.
Like the guy with the blue beard?
Absolutely. Blue hair and purple suit. And when I came over and said, oh, I had to stop over here and see Lady and the Tiger, and said, oh, I heard about you all from the Dice Men Company. He's like, really? Tasmania in the States. So he was impressed that there was listenership of yours around the world.
Fantastic. Peter Hayward, yeah.
Peter, my bad. Philip was one of the designers, I think, but Peter was in the booth.
Oh, well, look, I mean, obviously a lot of that goes down to Dice Lady Tanya. That's very exciting. Maybe our ears were burning.
Your reach is international now.
Any last thoughts about PAX Unplugged for the listeners?
Generally speaking, if you're in the area and were thinking about doing a big con like we were, but weren't sure that you were ready for it or it was ready for you, give it a shot. This was, as far as big cons go, a good entry level. I think it's going to kind of be on that Origins kind of plane. There's only a Gen Con. There's only an Essen. But this is probably going to be in that next cut. And since it's doing so well, I'm already hearing from publishers that there may be more that will come out as PAX releases rather than just Gen Con releases or Essen releases. So they're seeing it's got some life to it. And while it's big, it was definitely manageable. You never felt a crush of people. You felt there were a lot, but you could make your way around the hall and have a really good, comfortable time, even in the midst of 30,000 folks.
And it sounds like as well, with the emphasis being on the open play, that unlike Gen Con, where it's all about buzz, it's all about the new stuff, and it's all about the publishers, this one is just as much, if not more, about actually just sitting down and playing. And of course, we've talked so many times about BorderCon, and the thing we love there is just that it's all open play. So it sounds like the open play area was fantastic. Has this piqued your interest to go and try some other mid-level cons?
Perhaps, but since this one was a good experience, and again, having some connections with folks in the field, their sense of this is that this is a different beast of sorts from the Gen Con types. But that doesn't mean that it's not like a Dice Tower Con or a BGG Con. And like I said, BJ from Board Game Gumbo is trying to get me to come down to Dallas. I'm trying to get him now to come up to Philly. So maybe that might be the range for someone who's not sure that they're ready for a big con. If you're not sure, you're probably still ready for this one. And yeah, I think you're right that it's a lot of open play, but it's also rather than about the crush and gotta get it of the new things. This was more about publishers in contact with the public and building relationships and connecting with other people. This was very social rather than a blitz.
Fantastic. Well, look, Steve-O, I've got to say thank you so much.
Happy to do it, Mark.
Thanks for sharing your tales from PAX Unplugged. We'll look forward to hearing how you go next year. Who knows? Maybe we might even see you there.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It would be awesome. Look, you have a fantastic weekend, and thank you so much for being such a great supporter of the show and for having a chat with us.
Anytime, Mark. Give my best to the rest. All right, bye-bye.
So that was Mark's chat there with our good friend Mr. O'Rourke from New York and his experiences at PAX Unplugged. Hopefully I will get to see him next year live and in the flesh when I'm over in New York when I come around.
Hi, this is Matthew Dunstan and you're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, the best podcast in Australian board gaming.
Well, there you go. That was Green Day with When I Come Around, which I think for a lot of people was part of the album Dookie that just celebrated those mid-90s years all so well.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school. Where were you, Mark?
I was playing in a pub rock band in Sydney, Garth, playing this song, or maybe that was a couple of years later that I was playing this song.
And Leon, you were more a Wiggles man back then?
No, the Wiggles were after my time, believe it or not.
Wow. And on that note, it's Christmas time. It's present o'clock and the Dice Men have hopefully bought each other gifts because I've certainly bought you guys some things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to go first.
I've got some right here, Garth. Oh. You can hear me rattling the wrapping paper.
Oh, and that's, you can hear mine. Exciting. I'm shaking my phone. No one at home can hear it. But the boys are looking at me.
Oh, you bought us an app.
Yes.
All right, Mark.
Garth.
With that such vigorous wrapping that you've done, you better tell us now. It's becoming a bit of an annual tradition, I must say, when we talk about what presents we would buy each other because we love each other so.
You know what? I love you, Leon. I've just said it on national radio, or at least Hobart, where as far as the antenna goes. Leon, I have some gifts for you.
Do you?
The first one, I don't even know if you know much about this game.
Oh, that's great.
You might remember a little game called Mystic Veil.
Is that the game you guys played and slagged off heavily?
Yeah, yes. That one.
Oh, no, Mystic Veil. No.
Card crafting?
Yes, yeah, right. No, I'm thinking something else.
The card crafting.
I was thinking of Mistfall.
No. Horrible. Not that one. Right. I wouldn't give that to my worst enemy. You did give that to your worst enemy, Garth. I did give it to my worst enemy last week. Yeah. Designed by John D. Clare and produced by AEG, Mystic Veil was that card crafting where you're laying the clear plastic acetate sheet cards over top of each other so that the cards themselves within sleeves get better and better. Well,
yes. Brilliant idea, not the most engrossing game, though.
Have you ever heard of Custom Heroes?
I have not.
Or as it says here, spell checked to Custom Heroes, but I know it means Custom Heroes. It's the Mystic Veil mechanic with your clear cards that lay over each other, building up a character. But these ones are superheroes.
Oh, I do like some
so you start off, it's sort of that deck building with the card crafting where you're starting off with your fairly vanilla superheroes, and it's actually a trick-taking game. But each round you get to basically make your characters stronger and better by adding these clear acetate sheets within the card itself, so your cards are changing. I think this is the best implementation so far of the card crafting mechanic. I haven't seen it, but I would really like to play it. And that's why I'm going to imaginarily give you a copy for Christmas.
Oh, that sounds great. Can I build Batman or or Spider-Man?
Or Bat Space Man?
Yes, possibly.
Yes, you can build Batman.
Lovely. I would like to build Batman. Now, right, who's next? What are we doing?
You can go next.
Okay, should I give one to you then, Garth?
Sure.
Garth, you like a worker placement game.
I do. I work hard as my placement.
And you know how sometimes you give friends presents basically because you kind of want to use them yourself half the time?
Always.
Well, that's what half of the ones I'm giving you are. But the first one is a game that's all the rage at the moment, which is Architects of the West Kingdom.
Oh, and lovely.
I know you like worker placement games. Did you play this or did Trent play this?
Trent played this. Trent played this. I didn't get to.
Now, it's a worker placement game where you have like 50 or 60 workers or something insane like that. So what? I figure it'd be right up your alley. And with Paladins of the West Kingdom coming out in only a few weeks' time onto the old Kickstarters, I thought it'd be good for you to get and play over the holiday. So here is there we are. That's the box on the table, giving it to him.
That looks amazing.
Yeah.
I just hope Shem's listening, and Shem, if there's a spare copy of Paladins of the West Kingdom that should send its way to Australia, then that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, my turn, Mark.
Garth.
You're all right.
I'm good.
So that's why I'm going to give you the mind. What? So that we can play a game and you don't talk ever, ever with any of us. And it might be arguably one of the worst games released in the last couple of years, and not a game at all, but maybe some form of activity.
But some people
anything
love
that
it.
Stops Mark talking for a little bit or a long time, it's my gift to you. And listeners, it's also my gift to you.
Well,
thank you so much, Garth, I think.
Good.
Leon.
Yes.
I know you love your superheroes.
I think I've heard this about 30 seconds ago.
So I'm on a roll here.
Yep.
Our good friends, Colby Dowk and Plaid Hat Games, produced a little 2x2, but we might forget about the 4 maybe, player battle game where you have a team of superheroes that are fighting against each other and they can get better and better. This is the game called Guardians.
Okie doke.
It's only been out on the shelves for a week, 2 weeks at max.
So you say on the shelf. So in the normal parts of the world, it's been on the shelf.
Correct.
We probably won't get it here till dickety 20.
Well, and as I think I commented during my interview with Colby, the Dice Tower's review of this went up only hours before I interviewed Colby. So that's how new it is. It's a deck builder where it's a deck builder slash battle game. As I said, it is 2 to 4 players, but I think, you know, so was Ashes, Rise of the Phoenix Born, and we all know, really, it's a two-player game.
Oh, Summoner Wars was a four-player game as well.
No,
well,
it wasn't.
No, I don't think it was.
What it was been told.
But anyway, it's Guardians, it's a superhero battling game, and Leon, I think you would love it.
I'll have a crack of it, sure. Righto, Garthy boy.
Oh, you got me something else.
Yes, I've got you something else.
That's
now,
amazing.
You know how sometimes you buy presents for people even though you want to use them yourself? So I've got you a game that I think we're all interested in playing, but I thought I'd give it to you, and that's Western Legends.
Ooh,
because the idea of a big open-worldy game where you play as cowboys, and let's face it, you've always wanted to be a cowboy at heart. You've
as I always say,
yee-haw indeed.
Yee-haw.
Yippee-ki-yay, and so on and so forth.
Correct.
So, yeah, so Western Legends, it's I don't know if it's actually come out to retail yet. I know some people have got their Kickstarter versions of it, but it should not be too far away to the old retail. And it's a game that I'll probably end up picking up, and if it's rubbish, I will give it your way.
You damn well should. So on that note, I'm not going to give something to Mark, but I'm going to give something back to you, Leon, because I don't want you to feel left out.
Yeah.
You like giant robots?
Sure.
And you like when people pilot those giant robots, and you definitely like when they're in space.
Sure.
But more importantly, you like Plaid Hat Games and Isaac Vega, which is why I'm going to gift you Starship Samurai.
Ah, yes. I've had several people tell me that I should play this game, but I have not yet.
Well, I think you should more just buy it.
Right.
Because I'm not really giving it to you. This present that I'm giving you...
Don't ruin the surprise for the children that this is all a farce.
So I think you might like a giant miniatures game where you're diplomatizing and fighting throughout space with giant pilot-controlled mechs.
Yeah, there's nothing
Wouldn't
like
that.
There's nothing like diplomacy when you're in a giant space samurai.
You just want to lay some smack. Down in space.
Yeah, possibly.
So I'm giving that to you.
Lovely.
Whether you want it or not.
Fair enough. Marky Boy.
Yes.
I've got a few here that I'm going to give to you. The first one I'm going to give to you is a little game you might have heard of. It's called Nemesis. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little device that's going to take you back to when you filled out your Kickstarter for the Nemesis, and I'm going to make you do the shipping correctly so you actually have it now. Because we've spent the last month or so with Mark nearly every day in our chat going, can't wait till Nemesis gets here. It's going to be here any day. Only to discover that he did the shipping wrong and he's not getting his copy till when?
Well, it's not wrong.
When?
It's just there were two shippings. There was
when?
Pay extra and get it
when
last week.
Yeah.
Or pay less.
Yeah.
And get it in March.
So what I'm saying is I'm going to give you 15 quid or one less pint, which you drink plenty of during the week, young man. We could talk about that later, don't you worry. And you could have had Nemesis on your front doorstep a week ago, and we could have played it and been joyous.
On that note, I better give you your next present, Leon, and that is Heroes of Land, Sea and Earth, or Land, Air and Sea,
right,
or Sea and Earth and Land, because you suffer from that very same complex.
Do I now?
In that you didn't back something that you should have backed, and you said you should have backed, but you didn't back, and now you've possibly backed, but you haven't
got it
yet. I was
going to say, I have backed it, thank you very much.
But you haven't.
It just hasn't turned up yet, and that's Kickstarter's fault, not my fault.
Okay, I want to get in on this present circle jerk here. Garth,
yes.
I've got a present for you.
Good.
And I think it's something that you and I can play together. You and Leon can play together. You and your son Finn can play together. You and your daughter Annika can play together. In fact, Finn and Annika can play together.
Great. Oh, it sounds like a Batman game.
There's no Batman in this, but there are some Archons.
Ooh.
And there is a key that is Keyforge Call of the Archons, in fact, that amazing game by Richard Garfield, produced by Fantasy Flight Games. It's that scratches that great collectible card game itch, but you don't have to collect it. You just buy one deck, and that's for you. And then you buy one more deck, and that's for the person you're playing against. Or you can buy the starter pack, and it comes with two decks.
Yeah. And unnecessary bling, because the starter pack is about $65 to $70 Australian.
Yeah.
While you could buy two decks for under $30.
And the reason for this is because I want to play it, of course.
Yes.
But partly is I know Finn and his friends, some of them have been into the collectible card games. We know some of his friends were involved in the Pokemon World Championships, of all things.
Correct.
And travelled internationally. But this doesn't have that shelling out money week after week after week for boosters and other things. You just get the one deck and you're done.
Oh, there'd be
theoretically,
I was going to say, there's someone out there, I guarantee you, that's already bought like 200 decks of this game. I can tell you that right now.
Because, yeah, the amazing and really fascinating thing about this game is all about that unique mechanic where every single deck in the planet is individual. No one else has that deck. The downside of that is that what happens if you spend your $15 and you get the crap deck?
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
You get the joy of throwing a game in the bin.
Correct. But the other thing I like about it is that there's two formats for the way that the competitions and the tournaments are going to play. The first way is the sealed deck. And honestly, Dice Man, I think we should do this.
Yep, it sounds perfect. We should
go to a friendly local game shop when it is running a sealed deck competition, pay the entrance fee, because you get your own deck that hasn't been opened yet, and you just play that deck and see how it goes. And I think that is an awesome way to run a competition, because no one can then be accused of spending thousands of dollars and having 500 decks to draw from. It is, you make the best of the one deck that you have on the day.
Well, look, I remember the most favourite times I had playing Magic were with a group of friends that I had where we...
She didn't have it.
Okay, keep some going. People I knew. But we bought these boosters, which were like all old cards, but so you could do a sealed draft where you basically would open up cards, pass them around, you'd have to build the best deck you had from those cards that were there and play it right there and then. Yes, you might know some of those cards, which wouldn't happen in Archons, but that thing of, I'm just going to build the thing right now and then I'm going to play with it right away, no meta, no who spends the most money wins. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a perfect solution.
So I think that should be the Dice Man resolution for 2019. So look, Mark, I better give you a present back. I think, given the fact that you and your loving partner have played a lot of two-player games and enjoy, and in fact, you got a message just before the show where she was just sitting down to play Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective by herself.
Of course.
Because she's a gamer.
Yes.
I think you should go and take my present, which is War of the Ring.
Oh.
It's actually not... It's an interesting idea.
Arguably one of the biggest, baddest two-player games that you could possibly hope to play on a table, short of maybe a coin game.
Ooh.
Relive the whole story of Lord of the Rings. 1v1, good v bad. It's Christmas time. You've got holidays, Mark. I think it's calling you.
There's something there. Or either that or there's that little Star Wars two-player game.
There is as
little,
well.
Yeah.
But we're not going to go down that path. Okay. I think you just settle yourself down and sit down into Lord of the Rings. And you can also watch the movies as well.
Okay, well, Garth, I've got another one for you.
Ooh.
I'll just leave, shall I?
Garth, I know you like spending time in the toilet.
Absolutely.
I know you like playing games.
Yes.
So I think I've got the perfect combination. I've got a game with a toilet.
Wow.
A plastic toilet. It's made by the same company that make Pie Face. Are you okay there?
I am. I'm just allergic to what choice you're going to have.
Okay. It's called Toilet Trouble. And it has a large plastic toilet. And you spin the roll of toilet paper and it will tell you how many times you have to flush the toilet. It doesn't have batteries, which is amazing because pulling the little flushing lever is what drives it. And the toilet is full of water. It even comes with this little vial of colouring.
Oh, God.
Which colours the water to make it look like urine. And so you flush the toilet a number of times as indicated by the roll of toilet paper when you spin it.
Yep.
Sometimes it goes and makes a flushing noise, but occasionally it sprays you in the face.
That sounds crap, to be honest.
No, it was urine.
But I also want to know...
You're in trouble.
Which way are they putting the toilet roll holder? Because surely it's got to be over.
I don't know. I think
otherwise, I'm not going to buy it.
But I think the water goes down in the Northern Hemisphere style because it's made in America China or maybe. Anyway, I thought you'd have some fun with that.
Thank you. I do have pie face.
Well, you do have a pie face.
You do.
We tend not to bring it up, but that's beside the point.
Good
okay.
Face for radio.
So, Mark, I will give you yet another game.
Oh,
now,
yes.
A game that you have played and enjoyed, and I might as well give you the sequel to it, and that is Azul Stained Glass.
Ooh.
It is the big game kicking around at the moment, so more of a little bit of a step up from Azul, a tad more complicated, but not that much. And from what I've been told, a lot of people have said this is where they would have liked the game to have gone for a second version.
Okay.
So it sounds like an absolute belter.
Well, Leon.
Hello.
Let me go one up. I'm going to give you two games.
They've got superheroes in it, don't they?
No, they don't.
Oh, great.
Unless you think that a certain detective, not the Batman, is a superhero. I'm talking about Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective. It's got two amazing expansions.
Oh, so you're going to buy them for me so
Jack
you can
the
keep
Ripper
my version.
Jack the Ripper and West End Adventures and Carlton House in Queen's Park. Because then I can borrow those from you, just like I've borrowed your copy of the base game, which my partner Sarah is playing literally right now as we speak.
Yes.
We've had so much fun with that game. You might as well have the whole set that we can borrow back from you.
That sounds like a lovely thing that you could borrow off me. But yes, right. I have looked at those two many times and almost pulled the trigger on them.
All right. Well, Leon, I might as well give you a present as well.
Oh, thank you.
Now, we often talk about when you're not around as a bit of a freak.
Yeah.
And that just led me naturally into thinking about circuses. And if there's one game that I think you would like, it is Meeple Circus.
I would like Meeple Circus.
Where you'd get to stack meeples on tops of elephant meeples next to other bits of circus-type meeple things. Mm. It is just another form of dexterity fun party game, of which you have a lot.
I do.
And you do enjoy, and apparently you have friends that enjoy them too.
I have been told of these friends, yes.
So they won't be around at your place tomorrow night, apparently, because
everyone's busy.
But I still think Meeple Circus would be a great party game for you and your family and your friends and for us to come around. But
that is so many presents. I hope you boys aren't going to cry about those amazing presents.
Oh, I love this song. Excuse me, everyone. Just wanted to pop in and say hello. It's Mark here. And welcome all the new listeners. What I'd love for you all to do, if you haven't done it before, is jump onto iTunes and leave us a review. 5 stars would be awesome, but whatever you think we're worth, it makes a big difference to helping us get the podcast out to all the people there who don't know about it already. Of course, we'd love you to support us on Patreon as well, and to share the love on all your social media feeds. But if you could do the iTunes review for us, that would be absolutely amazing. Anyway, back to the track.
That's right. We don't cry when we don't get the presents we want here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. You're with the Dice Men Cometh. And look, while we're giving each other presents, I was going to make a quick mention of a present I'm about to give myself, which is on Kickstarter right now. But before I do, Garth, I've got one more present for you.
Oh, hello. That's fantastic. Bring it on.
I wanted to give you Root.
Oh, thank
the game.
You.
Finally, the game, it's come out.
There we go.
All these years.
It's the asymmetric up to 6-player game with the Riverfolk expansion game by Leader Games and Cole Whirler. Look, it looks amazing. It's certainly a lot of people talking about it, and I think it's going to scratch that coinage.
Yes.
Not your coin slot itch, because you need cream for that. But it's really going to scratch that asymmetrical multiplayer itch. I've heard so many good things about it.
It's also very mean, and that's the kind of game that I like to play at times. So, Mark, I better repay the favour, and I'll give you a very similar game. One deck dungeon. Solo dungeon crawler, single deck of cards, flipping things over, hunting monsters, killing them using dice rolls. And again, you don't have to play it with anybody else. You can just go and do your own thing because you are the solo man.
Ooh.
All right, so the final two that I have, which I would give to you lads if money was no object, because sadly it is an object, especially when you're saving to go to New York. So, Marky Boy, as you've just said, you've got your lovely partner Sarah to become a gamer herself in the last year or so, but an area that you haven't delved into yet with her is the actual tabletop miniatures type game.
Oh.
So I thought what might be nice...
Oh, it's going to be Batman.
...is to give... No, you're not touching my Batman. We're leaving that out of it. What I'm going to give you is a starter kind of army each of the new Game of Thrones miniatures game.
Ooh.
I thought that would go really... I'd have to find out...
Fire and ice one.
Yeah. I would find out in secret what each of your favourite house or clan is, and I thought I'd give you a few little armies from that.
We both love House Stark.
Well, then...
Stark versus Stark.
One of you's going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
And Garth.
Yes.
Legitimately, what I would maybe even speak to Mark and consider actually humanly giving you is that you're about to finally get your gaming cave up and running after all this time and after all the flood damage and all the craziness. And I thought, you need a game to play the first day to kind of christen it. And I thought, you need something kind of light and fun, but something you can remember. So I thought we could chip in and get you a copy of TI4. So Twilight Imperium, the 4th edition. What game better to christen a game cave and to see if it actually... Because if you're going to test something, test it correctly.
Exactly, you want to test it for 24 hours.
Yeah, can we spend 12 hours in this location? And if so, you've done well.
I
reckon we should get you a copy of that because we do have to play it at some point as well. And we can't just keep playing TI3 all the time.
I reckon you should get me that.
Okay, are we done with Christmas presents?
No! Mark, I'm going to take one more and give you Dice Hospital, which is a dice manipulation game all about running health stuff because, again, Sarah, she likes and is involved in the health industry, so I think that would be a really good combination for you too. Leon.
Hello.
How have we not talked about you buying us and we playing with you Betrayal Legacy yet?
Yes.
Because that should definitely happen, so I am going to allow you to buy it for Mark and I.
I was offered a copy of that the other day, really cheap, and I didn't buy it.
I'm also then going to give you Gizmos, because I think you would really like
Gizmos.
Yes, I want to
Gizmos. Play Gizmo. That and Root are the two games I really want to play that I haven't
played. And then, finally, the game that I'm going to give us all, just because I know it would be so much anti-fun is Spirit Island. Oh. The amount of pain that Trent and I had playing this at Essen Unplugged, I can only imagine the fisticuffs that would go on when the three of us played this. We would probably be in some Batman-style Joker three go in, only one comes out situation with a broken pool cue. It would be the worst.
That sounds like fun.
Okay, well, I'm going to give myself Tainted Grail, Fall of Avalon. It's on Kickstarter right now. It's just clocked over $5 million Australian dollars, $3.7 million US dollars, or almost £3 million. It's got over 30,000 backers. It's still got 8 days to go. Stretch goals are coming every day. It's from Awakened Realms, who've done This War of Mine, Lords of Hellas, and Nemesis. It looks to be epic. Sort of got a bit of a Seventh Continent feel with awesome minis. It's Arthurian lore, survival adventure. It's just cracked, I think, the top 10 Kickstarter board games of all time, closing in on Gloomhaven, which was number 9. It's past Massive Darkness. There's a lot happening with this one. And look, we were going to talk about it a little bit, but there's no time. It's the Kickstarter that just keeps on giving. It just doesn't have a dull point, but we've run out of time.
Mark, have you backed this correctly this time?
I have backed... I haven't decided on the shipping option yet, but we've got to go.
Okie doke then.
We'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.